good day, everyone. It's about 9:30 on Wednesday, the 15th of May, 2014. And today's broadcast is taking us deeper and deeper into the heartland, the Badlands of Nottingham, particularly the area in the city centre that focuses in and around the railway station. And close to there is what has been described as the theatre of base comedy, also known as Nottingham County Co-op. Why, might you ask, is one heading into Nottingham County Co-op? I went down there not as a defendant, not as a plaintiff either. I'm going down there as a witness to an attempt by a particularly mendacious group of solicitors known as Shoesmith to operate out of Northampton. I use the word mendacious because, like another company called Walker Morris in Leeds, these collectivists operating as a cadre of solicitors and legal officers out of an office in Northampton will do anything to cover up the truth. This is another mortgage claim. Shoesmith of Northampton are up to their ears in mortgage claims being made spuriously, as it turns out, on behalf of banks who are misrepresenting the facts insofar as they are no longer the holder of the mortgage. Not that the mortgage is valid in any way, but the note that they require upon you. See, it's one huge big Ponzi scheme backed up by these fake documents known as mortgage deed, which are being traded on the financial markets through a variety of means. They have things called derivatives, they have mortgage-backed securities, and that's before they bring into play all manner of insurance policies, which in fact cover any alleged debt that may arise. It's all utter phony bullshit. Anyway, in this case, and it's the friend David's case, Bank of Scotland are claiming possession of his house, which is south of here, near the River Trent, in Nottingham. They're claiming he owes them monies. Now, the actual fact is, he owes them for a call. He's the creditor of the bank. I've gone into this in some detail on the website, so I won't go over it now. But if you're not sure what I'm talking about, check out Rogue Mortgage section at the top there. You'll see what I'm on about in terms of how and why people don't owe the banks any money. So he gave them a 40-day Freedom of Information request, or Subject Access request, and within a few weeks of them receiving that, they began a possession claim against his house. Up until now, it's been a stalemate situation. The claim has been made before, but the court acted in error. David appealed it, and remarkably won his appeal, which has stopped the bank. That's when he's put the brakes on any claim that they may have. That is up until now, when this Freedom of Information request seems to have sparked them into action. Now, what might you ask, was the Freedom of Information request asking them to provide? David asked them to provide evidence that they loaned him any monies of their own? It's a very simple question. But one, all banks will run for the hills to avoid answering. Now, why might that be? I saw some comments today on a video to an attempt at attempted eviction in Nottingham, in which people, ignoramuses for sure, were writing comments along the lines of, why don't you just pay your fucking bills, you lazy chaps? Now, that is an ignorant stance. But you can forgive people for taking such an approach, because I think most of us do acknowledge that if we owe a debt, we're obliged to pay it. But what if you don't owe anything? Because nothing was loaned in the first place. What then? What of that fact? That is the elephant that's not so much sat in the room, it's sat on one's lap. I used to believe it myself. I've taken out loans, and I believe that I was actually doing well something. After all, I was able to get to the cash point, or get the cash over the counter, and go and buy it's usually for cars. There are quite a few things I used to pay cash. But I was able to go over to the bank and withdraw the cash over the counter. But that still doesn't mean the bank loaned me any of their own monies. Because it's ignorant of what's going on behind the scenes. And what the position is with regard to someone signing a loan application, where that loan application becomes is a negotiable instrument. And if you go to the article Money's Secrets or Money's Secrets, you'll be able to find a further expansion of just what that means. So this is the first time probably in a year that I've stepped foot in one of these theatres, into one of these theatres of base comedy. But I'm quite interested in the approach David's going to take today, because he's basically going to be using the fact that he failed to answer his question as the basis for their claim being struck out, being without merit. Now, the chances of pulling that off are not very high. In fact, the odds are hopelessly stacked against it. What shall we give him? Realistically, he's got a 1 in 10 chance. Realistically and generously, he's got a 1 in 10 chance of pulling it off. So I'm going along really to bear witness to it, and just to keep my hand in, so to speak, if one catches one's drift. Today's roadcast is going to be ranging through the back street, along the canal and into the court. Well, one of the points I think is this. Before any hearing, before any matter can be heard, it's a requirement that both the judge and the solicitor, the barrister, or representing the alleged claimant are insured. I mean, mistakes do get made. a regular basis. And so those individuals have to be covered. They have to take care of it as part of their professional license. It's called professional indemnification insurance, and it covers them for negligence. So what I'm going to suggest to David is that he asks the solicitor for his professional indemnification insurance details before they go into court. Should the solicitor refuse to provide them, then David can quite reasonably demand that the hearing be vacated on the basis that this man pretending to be a solicitor is not bonded. He has no insurance. You see, because the odds are stacked against one, it's imperative, you might say, to go in there with some unorthodox angles, approaches, because it unnerves them. It unseats them from their complacency. By which I mean the judges and the solicitors. Because they don't, it makes you very difficult to predict an unpredictability, something that these people absolutely hate. Right, so here's an interesting question that's just occurred to me. If a man who is very vulnerable and mindful of a lady's state of mind, of her levels of consciousness, says to that woman who's perhaps been overly concerned about an issue that's come up, if he says to her, look, there's no need for you to worry your pretty little head over this matter. Is that in and of itself completely out of order to say? Or could it be that that is in accord with natural law, with the biological reality of our natures? By which I mean, as I'm strolling along the canal now thinking of going to court, the whole court thing is very adversarial, and as such, that's more of a manly thing to do, in the sense that it's kind of outgoing, it's putting yourself out there, whereas woman's inclinations are the reverse of that. Her natural inclinations, I'm not talking about the engineered inclinations that exist nowadays, because they're synthetic. I've touched on how they've been engineered before. So don't worry your pretty little head about it. It's an interesting expression, and one may wonder where it comes from. But as I say, I know for the fact that, well, actually, I can't say it as a fact, because a lot of these things, it depends entirely on the intent and therefore how they're expressed. And a man may say that to a woman in a way that's completely harmonious with the pair of them, because his body language, his facial expressions, the tone of his voice would make it clear that he wasn't being oppressive or disrespectful. And the expression, your pretty little head, well, maybe one could take umbrage with the expression little, but if it just means in the sense petite, then that's fine. I mean, I've got a friend who will happily admit she's got a pinhead. You could say that she's got a pretty little head, and that she doesn't need to be worrying about stuff that's of a more masculine nature. It's unnecessary. But sadly, you see a lot of women working in the in the business of soliciting. It's a little bit disconcerting because they don't seem very comfortable with it. And in fact, very few people are comfortable in court anyway. That's the whole deal. It's an adversarial, confrontational and wholly masculine place. Although you might say, yeah, but the goddess of liberty, Britannica, the Juno, the statue, as represented in the Statue of Liberty, is about fairness and justice. Well, yeah, that's about everything. But sadly, these courts, they're not really courts in and of themselves, in the sense that they're operating fraudulently, and equity rarely, if ever, comes into it. So, as I was saying, I think David's got a 1 in 10 chance of pulling it off and of getting the adjournment. Actually, it might be higher than that. But in the longer term, what are his chances of winning a claim against the bank? Pretty much zero, the way things currently stand. Right, so the mortgage saga continues. I decided in the end, but I wasn't prepared to wait around. It was all subject to an unreasonable delay. And so about 11:15, I had enough of waiting and left. But anyway, as always, there's a few observations to make about these places. Nottingham County Court is a horrible place. To have to work there day in, day out, whether knowingly or not, engaging in acts that cause real harm and real loss to real men and women. And by way of illustration, there was an American solicitor there, a woman, and I didn't recognise her initially. But as she wobbled past, Joe says, "Hey, Joe, isn't that the solicitor who was in your case?" She was the one who represented the Bradford and Bingley and a claim against Joe. And he didn't recognise her because she's put more weight on. I wouldn't have thought it was possible, but she has. And her shape, if one was to be charitable, would be best described as being like the Michelin Man. But her state of dis-ease and her chronic unhealthiness is in no small way, I'm sure, related to what she's engaging in on a daily basis, the work that she's doing. Because, and let's not get too prosaic about it, you're doing that kind of work, you've sold your soul. You're doing the work of the Satanist. You're dancing with the devil. It's a world of lies and make-believe, of hearsay, being carried off as evidence, where evidence of a debt is simply accepted by way of bank statements and by a photocopy of an original mortgage deed, which in and of itself is a void document. So it's just like a vast cathedral of illusion and deception. And a patient. They are unhealthy places to be. And yet, some people truly believe that these places can be fixed. But the staff who work within them are essentially good people who are doing, who are acting in error. You see, none of this really adds up when you look at it in the cold light of things. of the reality. Joe countered in the morning session alone today at Nottingham County Court, there were some 43 possession claims being heard, void possession being claims being heard, by, being brought by the usual cadre of bankers, HSBC, Barclays, Bank of Scotland, Platform Lending, Wave Lending. You know, and as I'm walking on now, I'm shaking my head at it. Because it's just fucking, it's utter buffoonery. It's a very costly and psychopathic game that these people are playing with people's lives. And, you know, take for instance, there was a... Oh, and another thing they were doing was that they were pushing them through. Each judge, and it was a district judge, sat in his hearing room, was rattling them through at a rate of 10, each one was assigned 10 minutes. So if it was just a rubber stamping process, the banks know that once they've got their possession order, then they've got carte blanche to do exactly what they will. And if it sounds a bit weird, it's not so much weariness as frustration at the bovine stupidity of it all. The brazen, in-your-face criminality. And, you know, you can imagine people saying, oh, no, they're not criminals, you were lending money, you've got to pay it back. No, you were not loaned any money. There is nothing to pay back. There is, in fact, as a matter of accounting fact, and who's the more insane? That's the question. The insane individual or the fool or the one that follows the insane individual? So anyway, I decided that I wasn't going to go in. You know, he's saying, are you Mr. So-and-so? Arguing over the fact that I can go there as a witness. Oh, will you go in as a witness who the judge will be cross-examining? I mean, what the fuck has it got to do with him? I said, no, I'm going in as a witness to the court. You see, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And all you get greeted with is a roll. I'm not saying they're all like this, but in this case, it was just an arrogant roll of bullshit from a small man. And I say that because once he got up off his stool and wandered down to get himself a cup of coffee, he was no more than about 5'4". So, as I say, I didn't go in. And I rather went around the corner to see my friend at Zero's Barbers on Station Street in Nottingham. And if you're interested, if you're the sort of man who goes for a trim regularly, I think you'll enjoy going there. You guarantee some interesting conversation at Zero Barbers on Station Street. In fact, there is some amount of publicity, and maybe I should consider asking him for a donation. Anyway, well, I had the pleasure of meeting Daniel Bostock. Why don't the courts have thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not trespass? If I want to have all the Ten Commandments written on the walls of the court, you go in. Well, you couldn't do that. For the simple reason, it would create a bad working environment because the people in there who are going in there are undoubtedly engaging in just those kind of activities. So this woman, who works on a freelance basis for shoesmiths, they were a particularly vicious company of lawyers, or should I say cadre of lawyers operating out of Northampton, was someone that we'd met previously. And the expression, she's getting fat off her ill gains, would certainly be appropriate in her case. I mean, she was fat 18 months ago, but now she's the size of a house. And it must be tough working, prostituting oneself on behalf of the bankers. But beyond all that, I have to say, it's just getting increasingly more and more desperate. As I say, 43 possession hearings in one morning with the district judges effectively simply rubber stamping the process. And the solicitor, who was also employed doing a batch of them, just sitting in on claim after claim. Each and every claim is fraudulent. It's a misrepresentation of the facts. And she's just sitting there, milking it, sucking from the teat, from the septic teat of the monster, which is the financial system that employs her. You know, and if I sound a bit bitter about it, and I've got a fucking good reason to be bitter about it. Each and every one of those poor suckers that goes in is getting scammed. And it boils my piss. It's got to stop. It's a web of lies. It's a dirty, dirty business. So, if anyone's listening to this, and they're facing a possession claim, then I think, right from the beginning, the best tactic to take is not to grant them jurisdiction. To send back any spurious correspondence that is received from the bank and or its agents, with the caveat that you're more than happy to pay any monies that you lawfully owe the bank. But you don't owe the bank any monies. You know, and the courts are essentially a rigged game. I started off this morning by saying that the odds of David getting a result were perhaps 1 in 10. That may well have been too generous. I certainly wouldn't have given those odds if I hadn't known that there were 43 different possession hearings being heard in one morning. 10 minutes per hearing. What price justice? The British judicial system is not fit for purpose. It's masquerading as a justice system when the facts so manifestly demonstrate time after time that it is not capable of delivering justice when the individual has a claim against one of Her Majesty's agencies. And that, of course, includes the banks. On a positive note, it's now the afternoon and the sun still is shining. So to get back to this issue, I would say that the individual against whom the bank has a claim should refuse point blank to enter into one of these casinos, commonly known as Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunal Service. The tables are rigged. And if the individual can get support, then so much the better. As I've expressed before, it's all built on a web of lies. And it's those that the front line, if you like, the bailiffs and the police, who were lawfully and morally culpable. They're the ones that bought into these lies, and therefore by association, they become liars themselves. It must be very difficult for those who take authority to be the truth, rather than the truth as authority. It's a very sad state of affairs to see men leeching off each other like this. Because, you know, let's make no bones about it, it's a very profitable business. 43 possession hearings in one morning, and all the judge effectively is doing is just rubber stamping all these fake claims without any investigation. And if the listener isn't pissed off at this state of affairs, then I would suggest the listener's not been paying attention. But I was suggesting to David that he may well have been better to send a call prior to him going in, rather than going in, sending them a notice of non-attendance, basically outlining the point that it's a fraudulent claim, and any order that's issued subsequent to that claim being heard is void. And will be dealt with as a void order. In other words, it will be returned to the court with a notice of void order. Thereby, once again, you see, denying them jurisdiction. But of course, David's of the view that if he doesn't defend it, then they're just going to go ahead and issue the order for possession anyway. See, all these poor suckers that go in today with the undoubted hope that they're getting a fair hearing have been suckered in and played like a hapless dupe who's taken a rigged casino table. It's frustrating, and it just reeks of injustice upon injustice. This hand, or the hidden tentacles, not so hidden in my say, of the bankers, extend into every aspect of the British judiciary. And that's before we factor in the undoubted Freemasonic connections that are taking place, the handshakes, the deals that are made behind the closed doors, behind the scenes, by status and arch controllers and the manipulators of mankind's consciousness. And they need calling out for exactly that. That's just what they are. They're full of shit. So, this is another roadcast brought to you from a rather sunny and bountiful, at least in terms of the weather, Nottingham, where though injustice may rain down on people, the light of truth continues to shine. The only remedy that I can see ultimately is for the people of these lands, individuals, to come together and form their own grand juries, where all the facts, the truth, will be considered. And we take it from there, because, you know, the fact is, the power does lie with the people. The courts know this, the judges within the courts know it. I dare say, to a certain extent, some of the more perceptive politicians will be aware of it. It's a numbers game, you see. And the more and more people that wake up to the fact that they're being screwed on a daily basis and actually do something about it, the more and more people that do that, the better. Because in all truth, power lies with the individual, within the people. And when those people come together, that power gets infinitesimally amplified. So although it seems dark, and although frustration abounds, the longer term, of course, will reveal an altogether different state of affairs. The truth will out.